Well, how do you do an overview on teaching? And S1, we try to be quantitative, so I thought, well, you know, I hate surveys. I never respond to a survey. I'm in good company in S1. I found out that all those other people don't respond to surveys. But I've really learned a lot from a couple of surveys where I've been involved in. So the idea, and I'm hesitant to call this a survey because I didn't get permission from Human Resources, so I'm calling it a questionnaire. Right, but I sent out a questionnaire to try and find out, you know, what is going on in soil physics, teaching soil physics today. So it was a 15-question questionnaire. I sent it to Marcus Tuller, and he sent it out via the S1 listserv, and there are 461 members on the listserv. In April, I sent it out, and I got 13 responses. So either people were ignoring me, or maybe the listserv gets blocked by a lot of people. I'm not sure what happened. So then, about September, I started thinking, well, you know, maybe I should do something here. So I sent emails directly to over 40 people that I was pretty sure talked, and everyone responded back to me. So I want to thank everybody that's responded. I'd like to turn this into a little Journal of Natural Resource and Science and Education article. So if you haven't sent me your response or you haven't gotten the questionnaire, I'd like to, you know, it's plenty of time. I'd like to add to the data that we have here and see if I've got a consistent picture or not. So there were 43 total respondents, 35 in the U.S., 5 in Europe, 2 in Canada, and 1 in Japan. You have to guess who the one in Japan was. Okay, so the first question was, what sort of course are you teaching? And the most common answer was it was a grad soil physics course. But many courses are undergrad or combined. Combined, that's what I teach, is, you know, 3/4 undergraduate, 1/4 graduate. So if you looked at undergraduate and combined, it's about half and half, some kind of hybrid course or a graduate course. So there's a lot of courses that are being taught that are not advanced soil physics. This was the thing I was most interested in, is what is enrollment doing? I think I was worried that we'd see some kind of decline. If anything, it's just the opposite. So if I totaled the number of students that people said they had been teaching over the last 10 years, this is what I got. First of all, there's a lot of people being taught some form of soil physics at this point, right? And then the interesting thing is this, is this really true? I think, I don't necessarily believe this first 5 years. A lot of people didn't have records that went back, or they were younger people. But I think the last 5 years, these were all pretty much real numbers that people had sent me. And this is, you know, whatever kind of course they're teaching. And I think there's kind of two things going on here. People my age, kind of established courses, maybe there's a trend down. But there's a lot of young people teaching new courses, and they're teaching some very large classes, and the enrollment's going up. So the combination did something like this. I think this is probably a real drop here, 2006, 2007. Some people in the second phase sent me 2009 numbers, and they were even higher, that subset. So I think this is real, that it's probably going up. Textbook. I asked, what textbook are you using? The most common textbook is Hillel's, no surprise there. Second is Drury and Horton. But then a lot of people are not using a textbook. They're using their own notes or some kind of reading article. I asked if they were using any sort of math package or a spreadsheet. It turns out that Excel is a very popular, a lot of us are using Excel in our classes. I tried MathCAD for a while. I loved it. The students, for the most part, hated it. So, it seems to be a common experience. Computer models. I asked if the computer models were being used in the class, and so quite a few classes are using the Hydrus model, Hydrus 1D or Hydrus 2D/3D. RETC is also being used, CXT-FIT. The other common answer was a series of models that Dave Knopfsticker has on a website that would be useful. But you could take, you know, I tend to think of this as kind of the Hydrus family of models. I mean, if you can run RATC, it's not too big a step in the interface to CXTFit and then maybe to Hydrus 1D. So if you group these together, there's quite a bit of use of the Hydrus family of models in courses. What's a lab required or not? Quite a few courses are being taught with no labs. Maybe this is the advanced courses, but labs are still a significant part of about half the courses. Math requirements. You know, I think the message I would send out from this is, relax. The way you're teaching the course is okay. You know, if you're teaching it without a calculus course, there are plenty of other people that are teaching it without a calculus course, right? So quite a few there, but there are also a good number. Maybe these are advanced classes requiring differential equations. So it really spans the spectrum of the type of course being taught. Distance learning, most people said no. The question I asked was, are you offering the course by distance learning or thinking about offering it by distance? And so there was a significant number, 6 or 7, that said yes to that question. And I think this is a real opportunity. I wanted to get Sabine Grunswald on to give a talk here. She's doing kind of hydropedology courses at the University of Florida. And she's got it figured out how to do it. They offer it to Hyderabad in India. It's a Master of Science in soil science. She really knows how to do it. And labs are incorporated. They kind of have satellite stations where maybe students go in on a Saturday and they do the lab with someone. They take tests at these satellite stations. So there are ways to, I mean, if you're using lab as the excuse not to do distance learning, I think there are ways around that. I think that's the potential for reaching a lot of students that we wouldn't otherwise if we can figure out how to do distance. Is it required for a major or not? There are quite a few soil physics courses now that it's not required for majors. And then I asked, well, if it's required for the major, what's the name of the major? And so I think we can see something here. You know, if you look down, these are mostly MS and these are undergraduate majors. The only kind of traditional one is maybe soil sciences there. Agronomy doesn't appear anywhere. Maybe if it's an agronomy major, it's probably not required anymore. I guess one of the changes. But I think where people are having success is getting soil physics required for some non-traditional courses, which really means some sort of environmental science, engineering, or water-related major. Useful websites, I asked that. You know, I love this one. Again, this is the message. It's okay. You know, you know, it's okay to send students to Wikipedia. You know, I'd be afraid to say that I do that, but I go look up things on Wikipedia all the time. And this is, I think, Ty Ferre said this. So you know, do what you want. But then there are lots of other good websites. The Hydrus discussion forum. Dave Knopfsticker, Tamas Steenweet's preferential flow. People mentioned the Society website and NRCS website. Then several people have their own websites. There's some listed at the S1 page. There's links to those, but then here's a list of a number of other places where people have websites for their courses that aren't restricted access. I asked the question, do you have any strategies for increasing enrollment? Several people came back and said, you know, I don't want to increase enrollment. And there are some large classroom numbers and they're stable. So, but for the rest of us, we've been looking for ways to increase enrollment. So there were several interesting ideas here. I think recruit students from civil and environmental engineering, teach an introductory subsurface hydrology course that recruits students. We're doing something like that at Georgia. Cross list with other departments, target engineering students. This was from Per Moldrup in Denmark. Bridge with high school students within 100 kilometer radius. So this really kind of long term, but I think it fits with the strategic goals of the society to elevate soil science as a discipline, and you really have to start K through 12 if you're going to do that. But you, science teachers in the U.S. are very interested if it fits the standards, the state standards that they're trying to teach you. You can show them how a school science topic fits the standards. They're very interested in some kind of hands-on. And there's a whole thing now to get students out in outside, right? Start a water resources graduate program. So summary, I'd say teaching soil physics is alive and well, enrollment steady, different level courses being taught, notes predominate, Hillel and Jury and Horton common textbooks, Excel and Hydrus models commonly used, labs required for a number of courses, prerequisites vary, some require no calculus, and a number of good websites are available. So I think I'm pretty much on schedule. Time for a couple questions.
Any questions?
Okay.
Good one back here.
Yeah.
You got a low response rate, but experience with surveys in the past, is that unusual? I mean, does that seem to fit what you expected? Or?
You know, when I see, I don't know much about surveys, but I'm learning a little bit. Yeah, and I'm always kind of surprised at, you know, what's a good response rate, 20%, something like that's considered pretty good, I think. But I don't know. I think it's just a matter of contacting some people directly. You know, my experience with teaching has been, it's really hard to get somebody to review a proposal or review a paper, but if you ask them something about what they're doing in teaching, they take the time to. I think where I threw some people was in asking your enrollment number. Where's Magdy? He said, he couldn't find his record, so he didn't respond. You know, some people told me, you know, well, average, you know, 10 to 15. Well, I took 12 and stuff it in there. But for the most part, people gave me. Yeah, Marla.
Can you put the websites, can you make that available somewhere?
This talk should be available along with, you know, most of the other talks, but maybe we'll link it to the S1 website, right? I think we can do that. Good. That's Marcus. Good. Well, thank you so much.
Okay.
So then we're going to go on to the next talk. So the next speaker is Ed McCoy. And Ed, I had to drag him yelling and screaming in.